But this morning is designed to let's really look at the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell us to do and act and how to be with our government? And then what does the rest of the Word of God tell us to do and how to be and act with our government? Because we're going to see both sides of the coin today. That's what we're going to do. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. It says this. Let every soul... Now, here's what's interesting. Who has a soul? Every human being, right? So it's not let every person, it's not let every man, so that you can take anything out of context, it's let every soul, that is every breathing human being. You notice how all-inclusive this is? I love how the Word of God in this case leaves no escape for anybody. Amen? Because some of you are going, well, I'll find a loophole. Not in this one. No loopholes here. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. That's our government. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Some of us have a hard time going, you mean to tell me God put Obama in office? No, I'm not telling you God put Obama in office. What I am going to tell you is God allowed Obama to go in office. He didn't stop it. Now, he may have appointed Obama to go into office, but as we've seen with Israel, God gave them what they wanted, didn't he? God, listen, they said, we want a king. And God said, listen, I gave you the prophets and I've given you judges. And they go, we want a king because we want what everybody else has. Give us a king. And they paid the price for having a king. And then we look at America today, and the majority of America is saying, we want to have our own way and not God's way and take God out of everything. And so give us a king. And we ended up with King Obama. So sometimes God says, okay, I'll let you have what you want, but it may not be that good. Amen. How many of us have given our children what they asked for? Probably because we got tired of hearing them complain. And then when they get it, it's a little bitter. And we're like, hopefully you learned your lesson. Only to come to find out they didn't, and they do it over again, right? But God has allowed the government that we have. And God has allowed the government that we have for a purpose. And sometimes it's just to give us what we asked for. Sometimes it is a challenge, the Christian, to stand. Which, by the way, the Christian as a whole has failed miserably in standing in the position of any government. And then some Christians go, oh, you got to bow down to the government because God put them in place, and therefore you got to bow down to them, and you got to do whatever they say, and you got to submit to everything they say. And I'm going to tell you that's wrong. But I'm not just going to say that so that you guys go, oh, well, Pastor said it. No. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. Because we have to have balance. If we're going to, and by the way, but please understand this, and it is on record, we can go back and replay it down the road, I am not telling you to stand up against your government. I'm simply going through Scripture, and as I studied this out, and as I looked at it, and as I read it, and as I processed it, I'm just going to tell you there were some passages that I read, and I went, oh, Jesus, you need to help me with that, because I'm struggling with this one. But nonetheless, if I'm going to be godly, I got to do what the Bible says. Look here in 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Got to surrender to our government, right? It's what it's looking like, right? It's what it means. I'm just like, let's put it out there. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Wait a minute, let's stop for a second. We are to submit to our rulers, but what are our rulers for? To do good and not to do evil. But what do we find our rulers doing today? Being evil. Do we still surrender to them? We surrender to their authority because God put them in place. And we are to surrender to the authority of our government. But guys, there's limitations here. And we're going to unfold this completely because I don't want to stand up here and mislead anybody in any way. Because I believe that the Word of God is balanced. And I believe as a Christian, we need to be balanced. And so we have to look at all of this. And what we're finding in Romans is we are to submit to our government. We're supposed to. As much as we may not like it, we're supposed to. But we need to also understand in this passage that our government was to be set up for good. But now they've turned corrupt. How are we? Are we to change? No. Let's read on. Verse 4. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. We are seeing that God set up a government to be good and to eliminate evil. We can go back to Genesis where we see in the beginning where after the flood and Noah comes along and if man commits murder, then that man's life is to be taken. And that literally is the beginning of our government. If you go back and research it, you will find that it is right after Noah that God sets up the government and says, listen, if somebody sheds innocent blood, you shed their blood. And of course, today, we won't do capital punishment because we think it's cruel. And yet God says, you send them to me and I'll judge them. But man has taken his own twist and his own desire and his own ways, and man has chosen to ignore the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, if we did what God set up, we would have a fraction of the people in prison that we have. But we want to do it our way, and we're ignoring what God did, what God said. And we see here that God set the government up to do good, not to do evil. And now that the government's doing evil, what do we do with that? Do we rebel against them? Certainly not. Do we go with the flow? Certainly not. Well, Pastor, what do we do? I'm glad you asked. Look here in 5. Therefore. Now, whenever we see a therefore, what do? We find out what it's there for. Therefore, let's back up to what I just read. I'm going to reread it, and you go, well, you just read it. I know, but some of you didn't hear it. I could see by the glaze in your eye, you shut me off. So we're going to reread it. Verse 4. We could go to 1, but we're just going to go back up to 4. For he is God's minister to you to do good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. You must be subject to the good government that is trying to do good, trying to keep God's word, trying to keep God's lifestyle upon the people that God has ordained, that God has chosen. And if you are going to be evil, then that government that God set up is going to eliminate the evil, and so therefore fall in line. So we see in context why God set up the government. And we see in context why we are to submit to the government. And so we can go, well, the government blew it, so we can too. No, we can't. You're like, come on, Pastor, you're running in circles. I know, I like to frustrate you. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Let's just finish out the whole thought, 6 and 7. Render their, verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, the reason that I wanted to go on into 7, because he says honor to whom honor. Are we to honor the ungodly? No, we're not. Well, then what about being subject to our government if we're not to honor the ungodly, and if our government's being ungodly? Pastor, help me out. Man, you guys ask some of the best questions. But before I answer those questions, let's roll into 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It should be up here on the board. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Did I give you guys that one? Oh, no, you guys messed up. It's 1 Peter. Just go to 1 Peter, do a double click. Boom, boom. There you go. Scroll down. Click, click. Clickety click. 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 All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you got a Bible, you can turn to it. That's why we like hard copies, not electronic copies. By the way, guys, let me just tell you, if you guys have the NIV, I'll pray for you. But if you have the NIV or you have the ESV, I read an article the other day, and I got to confirm this. And if you guys want to Google it and help me research this, I would love it. But I read an article the other day that a company bought the rights to the NIV and the ESV. And it's a company that writes satanic books. And so they went in, and they have now, with the ESV and the NIV, taken out more passages and changed some more stuff electronically. Obviously, you can't change it in a book that's already been printed. But from here on out, guys, don't buy any ESVs and don't buy any NIVs. And you go, Pastor, you're just being ridiculous. I know. But I'm just telling you, don't do it. Because one of these days, I'm going to shout out a verse, and you're going to go, I got a new Bible. Wait a minute, that verse isn't in there. Be very cautious, guys. Man, we're up against an enemy, a shrewd enemy. And so maybe you guys can help me finish researching that to make sure it's accurate now that I threw it out there. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Wait a minute, how many ordinances? Every. Peter, I don't like you, right? That's what we want to say. Okay, maybe it's just me. Whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Wait a minute. Are you guys recognizing a theme that's happening in Romans and now in 1 Peter? Our government is to take care of evil. But we don't have, right now our problem is our government is evil. And you go, Pastor. As to those are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. There you go. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. And so give me 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Oh. How many struggle with some of these passages? Just being honest. Right? And so as I was researching this, I'm like, okay, I got to honor the king. I got to honor the king, which is in our case is the president until 2017, and then he'll be the king. But we got to honor the king, honor the king, honor the king, honor the king, honor the governors. We've seen that. Honor those who are in charge. We have to be godly. We have to be loving. We have to submit to their leadership. And we go, but their leadership is evil. And God says, listen, I want you to submit. But then as I'm looking through scripture, it's because God set them up to do good. He set them up for our protection. But they're not doing that. Do we still submit? Well, the Bible doesn't say not to submit if they're evil. He never changed direction, so therefore, what should we do? I know some of you guys are like, Right? How many have seen Happy Days where Fonzie had to say he was wrong? How many remember Fonzie? I got half of you. I don't even have half raising their hand now. Fonzie has to admit that he's wrong, and he goes, "I was right." He could never get it out, and so we're like, what are we supposed to do? Submit. I can't say it right, but that's what we're supposed to do, no matter what. And I struggle with that. So here's what I wanted to do deep in my heart. How many have ever wanted to do this? You wanted to go in and find a verse that defined your position so you could justify it? Right? Anybody else with me on that? Come on, right? And then I'm like, oh, I'm the pastor. Well, the Holy Spirit said, you're the pastor. You can't do that. And I'm like, oh. All right, so I'll call Milton up here because what is he? Let him take it out of context. I'm kidding. You know I love you, brother, but you're just my go-to guy today, man. And so as we look at this and we see in Romans that we're submit to our government, we see in 1 Peter we're to submit to our government, and I'm going, oh, we have to submit to our government. But then as I'm researching, I find some places where Paul didn't submit to the government. I see places where others did not submit to the government. And then we go, wait a minute, the Bible's contradictive? You mean the Bible says one thing and then does another? No. The Bible keeps it balanced. And that's what I want to show you today. We don't have to surrender and submit to every moving authority that moves when they're ungodly. And you go, well, what do we do, Pastor? We take a stand. As a Christian, we take a stand. Let's look at some passages. Let's look in Acts chapter 5. Verse 26. In Acts chapter 5, verse 26. Did I give you guys that one? Great. Okay. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the disciples that were arrested because they were sharing the gospel. And it says, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. So we see immediately, who are they before? They are before the government authorities that were presented before them that day. Now it wasn't the highest authority yet, but nonetheless, they were before their government. And it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And of course, we know the name is Jesus. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey. All right. So here's what we see, the example in the New Testament. We see that Peter and John were arrested because they were sharing the gospel, and the corrupt government said, don't do it. Right? Back up two verses. Back up two verses. Again. No, go down one more. I'm sorry. And one more. I don't know where I'm at. Saying, did we not strictly command you? Listen, the government or the government authorities said, we gave you a direct command not to speak of Jesus. And what did they do? They violated the command. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that we are to be subject to the government and we are to follow the government, but we see the very apostles who are teaching us the Word of God, the very apostles who are going out and growing churches and building churches and winning people to Jesus and teaching the Word of God, that they violated the very thing that we were told to do by Paul and by Peter. And yet, who do we have here? We got Peter. Go to the next verse, 29. But Peter, well, Peter, wait a minute. You just told us to surrender and submit to the government, and now you're doing the exact opposite. And so what do you want us to do? Guys, what I've realized as I was studying this out is we are to follow the government until the government asks us to follow them into evil. And at that point, we put our feet down and we say, no, we're not going to do it at any cost. And by the way, they were beaten and they were imprisoned. And they found it a joy to be beaten for the cause of Christ. They came out, they were praising God that they were found worthy to be punished for taking a stand for Jesus. And so what we're seeing here, guys, and I'm not telling you to rebel against the government. What I'm telling you to do is stand for God. It's a big difference. It's a huge difference. And what we're seeing here is it says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, what we find is we find the Christian that stopped and said, no, we are going to obey God rather than evil men. And so we see a beautiful example here where Peter says, listen, you're to submit to the government until the government wants you to do evil. And then you say no. We find other places in the scriptures, if we were to go back to Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, and for sake of time, we're just going to talk about it and not read all the passages. But you go back to Daniel chapter 6, and what do you have? You have the king who says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's Abednego, is how you pronounce it. And the king says, you will bow down when you hear the music start to play. And they were in private and they weren't bowing down. And so they were seen not bowing down to the music when it started to honor the king. And they were brought before the king and the king was angry. And he says, when that music starts to play, you bow down. And they started the music. And guess what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? They stood. They stood tall. And he said, well, I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. By the way, this is not a story. This is an event. Which means the difference between a story and an event is a story can be made up, but an event is a fact. It happened. And so this is an event. And the three of them said, no, You know what, king? We're going to stand for our God, and you're not him. And the king was irate and he fired the furnace up so hot that it killed the guards, some of the guards that were trying to throw them in because the furnace was fired up 7 times hotter than normal. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but before they were thrown in, they said this, if God saves us, amen. And if God chooses not to save us and allow us to burn up in the fire, amen. But we're still going to honor that God, our God, the creator of the universe, and no other. And so we see the king, the highest man in the land, furious. And he throws them in the fire. And then it says that he was sitting down because he was going to watch them burn. And then all of a sudden it says that he got up and he looked and he says, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? And they said, yes, king. And he goes, well, why do we see 4 walking around? Because you have 3 that said, I will stand for my God. And what happened is my God stood for the 3. And then next thing you know, 3 men walk out of the fiery furnace. And the Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Then you look at Daniel. Daniel was about to be second in command over the land. And he would go and he would, 3 times a day, he would bow and pray to the universe, to the creator of the universe, to God, the Father of Jesus Christ. Just so we're very clear of who God is, because we sure don't want no misinterpretation. And they were seeing it, and enemies of Daniel, if you will, were seeing it, and they were jealous because they wanted to be in command. And here Daniel coming in as a Jew, and he's going to be over them. And they're like, we're not going to be led by a Jew. And so they went to the king and they said, hey, king, won't you set a decree? Build this tall golden statue, and anybody that refuses to bow down to it, you kill. And the king thought it was a great idea. And he says, yeah, let's do this. And so, man, the king has this statue built and everybody is to bow down to it. And Daniel comes along and they said, oh, hey, king, did you not set this decree in order? And he said, yes, I did. Is there any way to revoke it? Absolutely not. It's permanent. It's in. There's nothing we can do about it, no matter who refuses. King not thinking. He'd already been set up with his friend Daniel because he loved Daniel. And so they bring Daniel out. Daniel, you bow down before this golden image. And Daniel said, not going to do it. And the king was distraught because the king knew that everybody should bow down. And the Bible says that the king loved Daniel so much that he was trying to do anything he could to save his life. But he couldn't. He couldn't do it. And so the next morning he came in and he said, throw him in the lion's den. Now, I don't know if you understand, by going into the lion's den, typically there would be somewhere around 6 to 8 lions, and they would not have been fed for a couple of days. How pleasant do you think they are? Amen? And so he says, throw him in the lion's den. Is it me that's just warm? All right, I'll leave it alone. Praise Jesus. Throw him into the lion's den. And then here's what the king said, though. The king said, Daniel, your God, he'll save you. He didn't even believe in Daniel's God, but he knew the power of Daniel's God because he had experienced it. And so Daniel refuses to stand before the king, and Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And the next morning, the king comes out, and it says that the king ran out early in the morning because he couldn't sleep all night, and so he had to wait for the right hour. And he ran out, it says, and he ran out, and he says, Daniel, did your God save you? And Daniel said, my God sent angels to close the mouth of the lions. Yes, king, you live forever. And they brought Daniel up out of the den and then threw the men in that set him up. And the Bible said that when they threw those men in, before they hit the ground, the lions had them and crushed their bones. Just shows God's in control, amen? So as we're looking at this, we see all throughout Scripture that we are to submit to our government until our government is evil. And then, listen, we don't go out and disrespect our government. What we do is we go out and we honor God. We stand for God. See, there's a huge difference. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to go out and cause a huge ruckus and go out and create this nasty whatever against our government. I'm not telling you to do that. What I am telling you to do is that you honor God. And if your government says, hey, you need to support abortion, you say, no, I will not. It is the law. I don't care what the law is. I will stand for God. I will listen and obey God rather than man. Because we see Peter saying, respect your government, but then we see Peter not respecting his government. No, it's not that he disrespected his government. What he did was he honored his God. Guys, there's a huge difference, and we need to keep this in balance. And so when we go to the polls and we vote, how do we vote? We vote in such a way, and listen, let's just be honest. Who do we really have to vote for? I'm going to get nauseous when I vote this year. I'm just saying. I'm going to be nauseous because I'm going in there. Listen, I'm going to pray before I go in. I'm going to pray while I'm in. And I'm going to pray when I leave. Because I don't have much to work with. I understand that. And it's like, how do we vote? Guys, there's one way that we should always vote as a Christian. We need to put the person in. Because first off, we have to understand, we are not voting for a pastor. We're voting for a president. All right. It'd be nice if he was a pastor. Amen? Pastor first, pastor always. That would be nice, but we don't have that option. So we vote for the one who stands closest. Now, people say, we vote for the one who stands closest to us. No. No. Do not vote for the one who stands closest to you. Because you could be twisted. I know nobody in here fits that, but you understand what I'm saying. We vote for the one who stands closest to protecting this. That's the one we vote for. We vote for the one who stands against abortion. Listen, how can we in any, how can we consciously honor God and then put a person in there that's going to kill babies? I mean, let's just be honest, guys. I'm not trying to sway you. I'm just pointing out, if we're going to be godly and we're going to follow God rather than man, we have to take a stand. And if we're going to take a stand, it's going to be uncomfortable, and you're not going to be popular, by the way, because I don't know if you've realized lately, but God's not too popular. We see throughout Scripture that we're to honor our government, or we're to submit to our government, but we're to honor God first. And so I'm not telling you to disrespect your government. I'm not telling you to go against your government. I'm not telling you to cause huge havoc. What I'm telling you is you take a stand that honors God. And that comes to voting as well. And you say, well, I don't like this one because they do such and such. And I don't like this one because they do such and such. I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm voting for. I'm voting for the one who's going to stand on the principles of God, whether they're Christian or not. Because the truth is, nobody running for office is Christian except for the vice president. Which, hey, there's another reason to go because, you know, the wannabe president, he's old and he might die. Was that out of line? I'm being honest. And if that happens, guess who we got stepping up in office? Somebody who says, I love Jesus. I mean, let's just look down the road, right? Listen, I'm telling you, we got judges that are going into seats. What judges do I want? I want judges that are going to protect this and my rights. And so, guys, when we vote, We still honor, or we still submit to our government, but we honor God with our vote. And we think more than just the one that's running. We got to think past that. We got, because listen, 4 years are going to come and go no matter who takes the office. But those judges' seats are for life. So as we're thinking about who to vote for and how to vote, we got to think past the person, and we got to look at what's coming into play. Because if we look at either person, none of them are worth a hoot unless Jesus saves them. I mean, it's just facts, guys. And so as I was looking at Scripture, we are to submit to our government. In other words, we don't break the law. But when the law tells us to go against God, that's when we take our stand and go, absolutely not. One of the verses that I found very, very interesting as I was looking at this is Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, verse 32, it says, and he said to them, well, you got to back up. Jesus was told, just hold on there, guys. I don't want you to back up. Just hold this passage here. To catch you guys up to date, in Luke chapter 13, what we see is, we see that the Pharisees, and we see that the rulers, right? On verse 31 it says, on that very day some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. The king wants to kill you, Jesus, because he doesn't want to hear your message. He doesn't want to hear what you got to say. He doesn't want to hear the fact that you're the only way. He doesn't want to hear the fact that because Jesus says, listen, don't listen to man. You want to go to heaven, you got to listen to God. And so he's establishing the narrow way. If you back up to verse 22, it says, and he went in 22, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, that's when he goes into the narrow gate. is to heaven and wide is the way to hell. And then after he shares this message, it gets down to 31, and some of the Pharisees came and said, Herod is going to kill you. By the way, who's Herod? The king. He's going to kill you, Jesus. You need to get out. And what did Jesus do? Go, yes, king. Yes, king. Yes, king. Bye. I'll see you, king. Did Jesus do that? No. Look here what Jesus said in 32. And he said to them, go tell that fox. Not because he was good looking, I can tell you that. Go. I had to get some eased attention in here. Go tell that fox. And literally what he was saying is, you go tell that conniving, scheming evildoer. That's what he was saying. That's literally, look up fox in the Greek. And that's what you're going to find. Wait a minute. You mean Jesus didn't bow down like Peter didn't bow down, like Daniel didn't bow down, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down? Wait a minute. What's going on here? Jesus said to them, go tell that fox. Behold. And remember, guys, remember when I said behold, and what does behold mean? Why is behold there? Behold is like, let me have your attention. Look, all eyes up here, because you got to hear what I'm saying. Behold. Grab hold of him. Hey, wake up. See, you guys woke up. That's what that word behold literally means. I want your attention. I want, are you here?
Hello.
Behold. You got to see, look, you got to see what Jesus is doing here, because if you don't grab hold of this, you're going to miss it. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. Wait a minute, what's he saying? I ain't going anywhere? Wait a minute, you're telling me Jesus defied the government? Help me out. Did I take this out of context? No. Thank you. For those of you who said yes, go home, pray, come back, get right with God. No, I'm kidding. It's that tension release, guys. You got to ride this train with me. So he says to them, go tell the fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And then the third day I shall be perfected. And what he's saying is, listen, we got it going on today, we got it going on tomorrow, and when the time is right, I will be killed, but then it'll be done and it'll be perfected. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going anywhere, and you go tell that sly fox, you go tell that conniving evil one, you tell him this. See, Jesus isn't being disrespectful. Jesus is honoring his Father. Because Jesus is doing what he was called to do, and he was not letting man stop him. Like Peter and John and the apostles were doing what God called them to do, and he was not allowing man to stop them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was doing what God called him to do, and he was not allowing man to stop them. Daniel was going and doing what God called him to do and not allowing man to stop them. And as a Christian today, we need to go and do what God has called us to do and not allow man to stop us. And yet at every turn, oh, they said I can't say Jesus at work, so I'm not going to do it. Oh, I can't read my Bible, so I better hide it. Oh, no, I'm not going to hide it. I'm just not going to take it. Oh, I might offend somebody, so shh. Can I use you as my example? Just say yes. Thank you. All right, so it's the funniest thing, right? I was talking to Cindy, and many of you know that Cindy has cancer, and you keep praying for her. And I said, we were talking about sharing the gospel, right? Cindy's like, where's he going with all this, right? And Bob's like, oh, dear Jesus, just let him get through it. Protect my wife. Amen? And so Cindy goes, you know what? I have no filter anymore. What do I got to lose? Time's running out. Amazing how our perspective changes and importance changes when we realize that we may have an issue of time. Why is it that we have to wait until we have an issue of time or an issue of pressure to take the stand for God? Why is it that we are so okay being complacent to allow our government to steamroll us? It's because we have no urgency. We don't see the danger. We don't see the calamity that is coming upon our nation. Because some of you are still working a great job and you're eating well and you're driving nice and you're living good and your vacations are wonderful and your kids are grand and everything is just hunky-dory. Why upset the apple cart? Because the enemy comes in and you don't even see him. And he takes it all away. And guys, what I'm telling you is, I love Cindy's attitude is, why have the filter? I was trying to build relationships. I was trying to do it this way and that way and this way and that way. But you know what? Man, God has just said, go. And I said, okay. When are we going to just get rid of the filter and live for Jesus? When are we just going to get rid of the filter and just like Jesus did? You tell that fox, I got a job to do. And like Peter said, I'll obey God rather than man. You're not being disrespectful, you're being honoring. See, we got to look at it this way. We're so concerned with offending the man that we don't care what we do with God. And what we should have is we should be so concerned with offending God, we don't care about man. I look at this, guys, and I see that we are to be respectful to our government, but I also see that we are to honor God first. And if that means taking a stand, and they said, Peter, John, and the rest of you apostles, you be quiet. And they go, no, sorry, we're going to honor God. You're going to jail. Well, let me know when my time's up so I can start all over. Because isn't that what they did as soon as they let him out? What'd they do? They ran straight out into the middle of the square, praising God that they were counted worthy to be disciplined and beat. And they said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And they're like, we told you don't do that. Yeah, well, God told me to do it. Boy, if we would take that attitude. Well, if we'd take that attitude, I wouldn't be preaching this sermon. Amen? Man, I'm just not getting it today. That's okay. So as we look at the scriptures, guys, I'm not telling you to rebel against your government. I'm not. What I'm telling you is to give honor, because what the Bible says, give honor where it's due. Well, the way I see it, God set up government for our good. God set up government so that we wouldn't be evil. And what happened is our government became evil and started disciplining good. And so tables have turned. Does that mean we turn? No. But what does it mean? It means, guys, that we take our stand, we dig in, and our vote honors God, our actions honor God, our voices honor God. Not that we're disrespecting the government, but we are honoring God. And nowhere in the scriptures do we see where they rebelled against the government physically. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see they rebelled against the government in a negative, destructive manner. They just simply said, you do what you're going to do to me, but I'm going to stand for God. That was it. And that's what I'm telling you as Christians, that's what we need to do. You do what you need to do to me, but I'm going to honor God. That means we honor God in our voice, in our actions, in our votes. We honor God in everything that we do. We serve, we respect our government, we submit to our government until they require us to go against our God. And then we say no. That's what I'm seeing in scriptures, guys. I'm not seeing anything different. And I could go into so much more detail, but time won't allow. Your bottoms won't allow. Because, you know, the mind can only take what the bottom can endure. Let's just be honest, right? Somebody say amen. Some of you are looking at me like you want to shoot me today. And I'm like, Milton, come stand in front of me. Guys, my goal today, oh, and by the way, we're going to hand these out as a voter's guide. And you'll notice nowhere on there did we circle anybody. Yeah, that go anywhere either. But it's so that you actually have a clear understanding of who stands where and for what. That's all it is, an information guide. You know what? We have both parties on here on the front. We have four parties on the back. The most important ones that we should be voting for, why we should be voting for them, how we should vote, where do they stand, so on and so forth. Just information. Nobody's in that booth but you and God. I'm not going to ask you who you voted for because it doesn't matter. I might ask you, who do you stand for? That's what matters. But guys, I'm telling you, we're coming to a crux in our nation where the Christian better stand. Not to disrespect our government, but to honor our God. So I'm going to ask you today, rhetorical question. I'm not looking for an answer. Where are you at? Are you so afraid of man that you can't stand before God? Are you shy and so therefore you're just going to be silent? I don't want to rock a boat. I'm not going to pick either side. I'm just going to ride the fence. Oh, by the way, for some of you that may not know, Satan owns the fence. Jesus says, you are either for me or you are against me. And somebody says, Pastor, you need to be more gray. Don't tell me. Jesus wrote it. Black and white. Well, I think I'll be over here because I like this part of the Bible, but I'll be over here because I don't want to offend man. You're never over there if you're over here. You might think you are, but you're not. We stand for the Word. We stand for God. We stand for God's principles. He has made them very clear. Let me help you out with a few of them. Murder is wrong. So therefore we stand against abortion. I'm not beating up on anybody that's had one. Because I don't know where you're at or why you did it. Only you do. I'm just simply telling you where God is. And by the way, God loves you and He's going to forgive you. And man, He will hug you and He will smother you with love. All you got to do is come to Him. This isn't an issue where I'm beating up on anybody. I'm just simply stating facts. God says He's against murder, so therefore abortion is murder. It's wrong. God says, hey, I'm against same-sex marriage. I'm against the homosexual LGBTQ RST. God says, some of you know it. I don't really want to know today. God says, listen, I'm not for that. That goes against everything about me. So therefore, we don't support that. Not because we don't love the homosexual, but because we don't support the act. We don't support the lifestyle. Because the Bible says don't support it. So that should help us. Hey, you know what? As we look through this, we got to stand where it's most going to protect this. And the freedom of what I'm doing today. Because here's the truth, guys. We are that far away from becoming an underground church. That far. Or that close. However you want to look at it. If the Christian doesn't start being heard. Do you realize last year there were over 30 million professing evangelicals, not last year, but last election, there were over 30 million professing evangelicals that never went and voted? 30 million. That might have swayed the election just a little bit. I'm thinking maybe. How important is the voice? I think the reason that most Christians don't voice because they don't understand the scriptures. Well, government was put in place, and so let's just bow down and surrender to it. Government was put in place, and we submit to it until it goes against God. And then we stand for God. It's really that simple, guys. I'm praying, and my prayer is that your vote honors this book, honors your Savior, or if he's not your Savior, being Jesus, honors the creator of the world, of the universe. It's real simple, guys. I just know that if the Christian doesn't start making a stand, we're the only good that's going to change the world. When are we going to start changing? I don't know. Our government was there, and it is there, and God has put it into place. But as I read in the scriptures from Jesus and all the rest, we don't go against the Father to support the government. Take it as you will. Mind you, not one time did I tell anybody to go and create a rally and commotion and cause a ruckus and go against your government. I did not say that. What I said was stand for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you and Lord, sometimes it's just really tough to understand what we are to do. Lord, we tell our children to submit to authority and then Lord, we tell them not to under these conditions. And so Lord, we're your children and sometimes we get confused or sometimes we struggle. But Lord, as we've seen today through your word, Lord, that we are to be respectful to our authority. But Lord, we are to bring you honor. And so Lord, as we go through this next week, Lord, as we vote, Lord, as we're looking to bring another president over the United States of America, Lord, the free country to preach the gospel. Lord, we pray it stays that way, but Lord, we also pray that you would move the Christian. Lord, that you would move the multitude to take a stand, to make the difference, Lord, to stand for you. Not go out and cause havoc, but Lord, that we just stand firm for you. And Lord, if that means that we are punished, then we have the attitude of Peter, John, and the apostles. So be it. If we have the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if God spares us, okay. If he does not spare us, okay. Lord, if we have that attitude, we could move the mountains, Lord. We could get rid of the evil, Lord. We could make the difference. And Lord, if not for the multitude, we can sure enough catch the attention of a few. And Lord, you sent your son Jesus to die, even if it was but for one. You sent your son Jesus to die. So Lord, help us not to minimize what we can do. And Lord, the impact that we could have, Lord, whether it's few or many. But Lord, we understand that the few is just as important as the many. Lord, when one person gets saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. And so, Lord, if we just take a stand and it makes a difference in one person's life, we've honored you. Father, help us to keep balance. Father, help us not to allow this election to be personal in the respects that we have political wars with those who disagree with us. But Lord, that when somebody disagrees with us because we've stood for you, Lord, we just simply go into prayer. We simply just lift them up and pray for their salvation, Lord. We simply ask you to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, use us, use this church, Lord, use your church as a whole around the world to take a stand when evil jumps so high. To take a stand for you when we're told to deny you. Lord, that we would just give you the honor and the glory in everything that we do and everything that we say, so that you are lifted high. We are the light, and men see you because of us. Father, strengthen us. Send us out. And make it clear the work you would have us to do as a church and as individuals. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.